You are listening to Spot On, a health and wellness podcast that breaks through the latest media headlines to provide you with accurate and usable information that is, well, spot on to meet your needs. I am your host, Dr. Joan Salgi-Blake, a nutrition professor at Boston University and the author of the college textbook called Nutrition and You, which is used in colleges across the United States and abroad. Hi, Spot On viewers and listeners. We got some great episode this week. Can you eat more and weigh less? What? Yes, you can. I'm bringing on the expert on this, Dr. Barbara Rolls from Penn State. Her research is world renowned. You can eat more and weigh less. Wait till you hear her science. Hope you stay tuned. Hello, Spot On listeners. We're back, and I have the person I talked about, Dr. Barbara Rolls, and she is the guru behind this whole eat more, weigh less. She is a professor and endowed chair of the Helen A. Guthrie Chair of Nutritional Sciences at Penn State. So we're talking big time here. She has, her career has been spent just educating us, educating dietitians, other health professionals, all about her research, which looks at food variety, energy density, or energy and calorie, measured in calories, portion size, and how they affect food intake and weight loss and weight maintenance. Get ready for this. She has authored over 350 research papers and has written 3 books. So this woman doesn't sleep. So anyway, with that, I want to welcome Dr. Rolls to Spot On.
Thank you, Joan. It's nice to be with you.
Dr. Rolls, thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait for you to tell us about your diet, the volumetrics diet, and get into what that really means. But first, I want to tell you that this diet is so renowned that it has been rated by U.S. News and World Report as the best diet for weight loss, number 3. Okay. And the best diet overall. So it has something to do with weight loss. It's so darn good for you at number 7. So, you know, I love to be efficient. So you can kill 2 birds with 1 stone by following the volumetrics diet. And so, Dr. Rolls, can you enlighten us? What is the volumetric diet?
I think you just touched on it, because what I really want healthy eating and weight management to be one and the same. A lot of people get a diet head and they think they have to do something extreme to manage their weight. I'm a professor of nutrition. I want people to eat healthy and I want them to enjoy it. So volumetrics is based on research that we've done here at Penn State in my lab and in other labs. Penn State has a big group that studies obesity and eating behavior and other labs around the world. So really it's based on finding foods that help to control hunger and promote satiety. So, you know, don't diet hungry is the idea. So it's food-based. We've looked at calorie density or energy density, same thing, one's a more technical term. That's just the calories per bite of food. And that calorie density has a profound effect on how much we eat. And it interacts with the amount of food we are served or the portion size. So these factors, food properties, are continually affecting how much we're eating. If you pack a lot of calories into each bite, you're going to be getting more, because people tend to eat a pretty consistent weight or volume of food over a day or two. And then bigger portions also encourage you to eat more.
See, this is what I love about this, because, you know, I don't like the word diet, but I know that people may want to lose some weight. But what I love about this, Dr. Rolls, is you said, okay, wait. Okay, I'm going to tell you how, through the science, and we'll get into this minute, why volumetrics will help you to lose some weight if that's what your goal is. But more importantly, it's just to eat a healthy diet, which is going to help you not only better manage your weight, but fight heart disease, certain cancers, type 2 diabetes, which is, we know, is out of control, reduce the risk of stroke. So it's like, putting all your learning how to eat in an enjoyable fashion and implementing the foods that you love for a lifetime. And this is why I love it. So that I love your definition of calorie density, is that more calories per bite. So how does, volumetrics, what's the story with the association with the volume of foods and trying to lose weight?
Volume comes into it, both as a weight and as a actual volume. It gets complicated. So when we're studying eating behavior, generally to measure food, we have to weigh it. It's hard to do volume of food. But both the weight volume and the milliliter volume, they combine. So it's a little it's interesting to explain. So if you think of aerated foods, so example, a puffy snack versus a less aerated puffy snack,
Like a popcorn.
there's cheese snacks. There's one
Okay.
that's more compact and there's one that's more aerated. We've
Okay.
actually done studies comparing how much people eat of those, matching for preference across, and people end up eating significantly more of the denser, the less aerated.
Interesting.
Or if you aerate a milkshake, people will eat less of it. If you have a big flaky cereal and it fills the bowl more than, say, a muesli type cereal, people eat less. They think they've eaten the same. And that's the volume, the visual cues, the portion, just assessing the portion size.
Dr. Rawls, my grandmother used to say, "You eat with your eyes." And that's interesting what you just said. So, in other words, you're in front of you, you got this flaky bowl of cereal, and you say, "Ooh, yum!" And you're gonna sit down, but it's more volume, and it'll fill you up. Where you're saying, like a granola, which is
Yeah.
more dense, you would end up eating more of it because
Yeah.
of the. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We actually did a study where Wheaties have really big flakes. So I had dedicated Wheaties crushers in my lab. They got a rolling pin and they crushed the flakes to different sizes. We had four different sizes. We put them in an opaque container and people poured what they wanted for breakfast and then ate it with milk. And we asked them at the end how much they thought they'd eaten. If they had the more voluminous cereal that piled up more, they ate significantly fewer calories, but they thought they'd eaten the same amount. So, it's really interesting. I think that pretty clearly shows that we have a notion of what a portion should look like. That's part of why I don't like the eat less message,
Right.
because if you just eat less of everything, you're going to have a half empty plate. And you're going to look at that and you're going to say, wow, that's not enough food. I know I've learned through all my eating
Right.
experiences through my life that I need more food on my plate. So if you do a reduction in energy density, so the other thing about energy density is the weight of food depends or is affected by what's in the food. Fat has 9 calories per gram, carbohydrate and protein 4, fiber 2, 2.5. And the miracle ingredient, if you like, is water, which has no calories at all per gram. So volumetrics takes advantage of this recommendation to fill your plate with fruits and vegetables, half your plate, because they're rich in water content. So
Right.
they give you satisfying portions with fewer calories.
Right. So basically, they're going to fill you up before they fill you out. Is that because they got the water? That is amazing. So now we have aerated, volume, fluffy things, and now we have water and volume and how that plays. And Dr. Rolls, I have one in front of me of the 350 research studies that she has done. And I'm going to put this article up. It's great. It's a great read on the Spot On Facebook page. But you have a whole thing, a whole section of this, the whole paper is wonderful. But the role of water and food and calorie intake. So talk about this, because this, when I read this, this was really fascinating.
Yeah, well, if you add water-rich ingredients to the dishes that you typically serve, so you would bulk them out with your favorite veggies or whatever, you, for your usual portion, are going to get fewer calories. I like to show people that they can have their favorite foods. They just add what they like in terms of vegetables, fruit. And if they can cut down on fat a bit, I don't want people to cut so much fat that they don't have flavor or the right textures anymore. But I think often we get more fat than we need. Just these two strategies can dramatically reduce the energy density of your favorite foods, especially things like casseroles, sandwiches. There are lots of ways you can bulk them out. And when we do studies where we vary the energy density, we can reduce it by up to a third, and people don't notice. So, it's not difficult to reduce the energy density. And I just wish that more restaurants, food companies would do this, because it really does facilitate eating less. You have your usual portion, but it has fewer calories. And we've done multiple studies over days. We've done clinical trials. People end up spontaneously eating less and not getting hungrier and losing weight.
So Dr. Rose, let me see if I get this straight. A hamburger. You have a hamburger. Fab. American food on the grill. Yum, yum. Okay. But if you take the ground beef before making it in a patty, and you add chopped mushrooms to it, okay, mushrooms. And you add onions,
yes,
and you add chopped peppers, and maybe tomatoes, we'll put tomatoes on top, whatever. And then we make that patty of that new hamburger that has all these vegetables. We've added these vegetables that are less calories, less energy dense than the ground beef. I'm going to add more fiber and nutrients to it, right? Because of the vegetables. Make it into a patty, grill it, put it on a bun. We have our hamburger that we love that is still the same size burger, because we still made the same patty, enjoying it the way we enjoyed it. It's going to be as satiating or filling or satisfying, but we've cut the energy density or the calories of the burger by adding all those fabulous veggies. Do I have it?
Absolutely. And you can add some herbs and spices too to up the ante on the flavor. You're going to put it on a whole grain bun. You're going to, like mustard, use it instead of mayonnaise, or
sure,
less mayonnaise, bulk up all your favorite vegetables into it. And it's interesting you mentioned mushrooms. A couple of studies that came out of Johns Hopkins looked at substituting mushrooms into recipes instead of meat, and got significant reductions in energy intake.
And I've actually done that, Dr. Rawls, and the mushrooms actually taste meaty. It has like that texture. That's great. I use you all the time. Your ears are probably ringing, because whenever I'm talking about this topic, I'm always using your research because it's so fabulous. Could you talk about soup? First of all, I'm in New England here, and I'm having soup all day long because I'm just going to try to stay warm. But talk about soup, because the soup is, people love soup, but they don't understand how phenomenal the soup is. And can you please share your research about having a vegetable soup, prior to a meal, and what that's all about, because it's phenomenal.
The filling up first strategy is what we're talking about. So what you have as a first course can affect the amount you eat in total at the meal. So filling up with soup is a very effective strategy. Soup is interesting because it's a liquid food. And in general, liquids, liquid calories are not computed as much, recognized as much by our bodies. So liquid calories, soda can sneak in and add extra calories. The souk is different because it is very filling. It's obviously got a very high water content. And so having a bowl of soup, if you can do broth based, I mean, obviously, if you have a cream based, say clam chowder, this might not work as well. Your goal is to have big volume with fewer calories. So lots of veggies, put in some legumes, some protein, some meat, chicken. And if you have a big bowl of low calorie soup before a meal, you end up eating less at the next course. And we've shown in our studies, you actually end up eating less at the whole meal. You get an extra course, you end up eating less. It works for salad and even fruit too. Keeping the calories as low as you can and the volume big. So filling up first, it works.
Does it matter if it's hot soup or cold soup? Like you know, like gazpacho in the summer when it's hot, does it matter temperature? Yeah,
we haven't found differences by temperature. We've also tried having people eat it from a bowl or drinking it from a cup, and that didn't matter. So it's I think part of it, you know, a lot of eating behavior is cognitive. It's what we've learned, and
sure.
You know, we grow up thinking that soup is satisfying. That's the message around it. And it's more satisfying than melon, which is the same energy density. So that we did a study where we compared them. And so it's something special about soup. We've done a lot of studies with it. And actually, I hear from a lot of clinicians who use this that the soup really is important to their patient.
Yeah.
Satisfaction.
Yeah, I get a bowl of soup in front of me, Dr. Voss. I think of my grandmother. You know what I mean? I mean, I smile when I have a bowl of soup. And so it makes me very comforting. It's a very comforting food. So I can see the cognitive pleasure that I get from it and the pleasure from eating it, I should. And now I know before a meal it's even better. You said something in this article that I thought was fascinating. You said in this, when you did some studies, is this whole love water, water is wonderful, and water with food and watery foods and foods, you know, in soups or casseroles. But what did you find with drinking water with a meal? And did it have the same benefit?
Upfront message is you need to eat your water, not drink it. Okay, so that's an easy message to remember. So we did a study where for a first course, gave people they were tested in all these different conditions. So one day they got a casserole. It was a chicken and rice veggie casserole. And another day they got the casserole with a 10-ounce glass of water. And another day we cooked the water into the casserole to make a soup. And we compared those three conditions to what they ate when they had no first course at all. And what we found is that just drinking the water did not affect food intake. But when you cook the water into the food, it reduced intake a lot more than the calories in the soup. So this is the eat your water. It needs to be. I mean, it changes the whole way the water is handled if it's cooked into a food. It's bound in there. It's going to empty out of the stomach much more slowly. Other groups have looked at this. I mean, water that you consume that's not in food is emptied pretty quickly.
Right.
The other thing is water affects thirst mechanisms. Soup, presumably food mechanisms. They're completely separate
in
the way that hunger and thirst are regulated. I worked on thirst before I ever got into hunger. So thirst is osmotic changes, differences in salt content, blood volume, and hunger is way more complicated with stomach, gut hormones, insulin, glucose, etc. So, you know, drinking water to think that it's going to satisfy hunger is a stretch. But I always say about, you know, some people claim that drinking water a glass of water before a meal fills them up. And I say, if you believe it,
right,
go for it, because this cognitive effect on
intake.
An even better way to get water to work for weight management is if you substitute it for caloric beverages.
Yes. You know, on this paper that you wrote, which again, I'm going to put on this spot on Facebook page, is a really fun chart in this. And you rank food by volume of water, percentage of water. And of course, fruits and vegetables made the top, and your soup is number two. But something I found really interesting, hot cereal was number three. But going down the line, like dry cereals, much lower. And I guess it's exactly what you just said, because when you cut the hot cereal and you make it with water, increases the bulk of the volume of the food, and therefore it was more satisfying as such. It was really amazing. And of course, on the bottom of this, of percent water, we have things like chips, you know, and there we go again, right. You know, so chips are not going to fill you, if they satisfy, you're going to more likely overeat the calories because they lack that volume, they lack that water. But I thought that was really very interesting. And even like yogurt was high up there rather than cheese. Nothing's wrong with either one of them, but yogurt had more fluid versus cheese.
Yeah. So I often, when I'm giving talks, ask people, which do they think has a higher calorie density, cheese or pretzels? And which should you manage more when you're watching your weight? And of course, people generally think of cheese. But in fact, pretzels and cheese have about the same calorie.
Oh, really?
Density, right. Because the cheese has fat, which bumps it up, but it also has water, which brings it down.
Mm-hmm.
Pretzels are mostly just carbohydrates, so they're dry. So, you know, it's this interplay, this continual interplay in foods between the fat content and the water content that are the primary drivers of the calorie density that you end up with. One thing I want to make clear about this is some people ask me, well, am I supposed to keep track of the calorie density of my whole diet? And that would be impossible. It's just too hard. I think what I want people to do is to learn strategies to modify calorie density so that they can keep their favorite foods in their eating pattern without losing how much they like them, et cetera. And you know, just a lot of ways you can tweak food to do that with really not affecting satisfaction. So,
you know, that's so important, Dr. Wells, because we have to be culturally sensitive. I mean, I'm Italian, you know, everybody, I grew up in certain foods, you know, and ethnically, the way you grew up, there's nothing wrong. It was not a set diet. And you should culturally respect your culture. Eat the foods that you love. Remember, taste is the number one reason why we eat anyway. But to use this volumetric strategy of volume, adding water, adding volume by more fruits and vegetables, could allow you, whatever cuisine you're in, to just alter it with these principles based upon the science that you have validated over the years. And so everybody is happy. And you know, you could, if weight loss is your goal, this will help you maintain it. And I'm sure you've seen that. And you know, in your studies, what have you seen about that?
Well, first of all, what I like about this approach is that it can fit with any diet plan. You know, if you want to go high protein, you can still do this, if you know, no matter what. In terms of long-term success, there are now quite a few studies that show that this approach helps with weight loss. I like the positive aspect of it. I like emphasizing what you can eat rather than continually saying you can't eat that. So I think that's important. And we compared that in a clinical trial where we had people either pay attention to the eat less fat, or eat less fat but eat more fruits and vegetables. And the group that got the eat more fruits and vegetables lost significantly more weight and were less hungry. They had a better diet quality. And there are other groups that have looked at this approach in terms of weight loss maintenance and found that the effects of this kind of advice persist in a number of people. I mean, not everybody is going to achieve long-term success. But, you know, if you find an eating pattern that you enjoy, sustaining it is going to be the key.
I mean, as a practitioner and helping people, registered dietitian, nutritionist, you know, helping guiding people with a diet, the message of no, add more fruits and vegetables rather than taking away. It's just a more positive message. Of course, we know we have My Plate, this visual tool that adults can use to get a visual idea of the proportionality of what their plate should be. And we see that half of it is fruits and vegetables. So again, this very, very visual effect that when you look down, the casserole that you made, the hamburger you now made, is it more fruits and vegetables? Is it more water? If it can be water, that'd be great. So this is what I want to tell everybody. Dr. Rolls has written not one, not two, but three books on volumetrics. And of course, we are going to put the link to them so you can purchase them online. But I have another treat, because what she has done is she likes to share. She's a sharer. And so she has gotten a volumetrics online program, which I think is fabulous. And it's the Volumetrics Weight of Life Weight Management Plan, and it teaches them weight fundamentals, this whole principle of volumetrics, sustainable eating patterns for lifelong weight management. And it's very, very interactive, and you can do it online. And the next series, if I have this correct, Dr. Rolls, is April 18th. It's a six-week series. It's online. And I think April 18th is the next one at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And I am going to put the link on the spot on Facebook page where you could register for this, and register it, because then you're going to get all of this on a, you know, more of an instructional basis. I love the fact that it's for 6 weeks or six classes, I should say. And I'm also going to link to the book. But I think this is fabulous, because some people read books and they can do it, but a lot of people need a little bit more handholding. And I think this is brilliant that you did this.
Well, the great thing about it is it's done through Penn State Extension.
Oh, great.
So, of course, it is not very expensive. Extension is a program that all of us land-grant universities have to promote health and agriculture to the public at highly subsidized costs. The great thing for me is it kind of comes full circle in my life, because my grandfather was a professor of agriculture at Cornell, and he was one of the founders of the National Extension Program. So I feel like the whole thing has come full circle for me. It's really cool that Extension is doing this. They have the team to do it, dietitians all over the state. And actually, the program won the National Extension Award for Best New Program last year. So they've done a great job.
Dr. Rolls, I can't thank you enough for coming on Spot On and being able to share all this wisdom. And again, we're going to keep promoting this and share it on our Spot On Facebook page. So with that, I want to thank you so much for coming on Spot On.
Thank you, Joan.
Spot On is supported by the Boston University Sargent College's Master of Science degree in nutrition program. Log on to bu.edu to learn more about this fabulous nutrition graduate program. Thank you for listening to Spot On. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This way you'll get every new episode every week. And by the way, leave us a nice review. And can you also like us on our Spot On Facebook page and suggest topics for future episodes? Please follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Joan Salgi Blake. And oh, by the way, can you send this episode to five of your friends? Do I ask a lot of you?